Okay, so we are continuing on with the different limitations to Bittul Berov. We already discussed the Dvarim HaChashuvim. Beria, Chaticha, or Eskabe, Davar Sheish Tomatir, different limitations to the principle of Bittul Berov. Today, we're going to discuss a more basic limitation to the principle of Bittul Berov, which is actually not so brought down in the Simani of Shulchan Aruch. It comes up Agav in a Ramah, in Tzadichas, and later on in Kufbeis, what we're doing right now, in Sif Gimel, but it's very Agav. So I decided to give a shiur dedicated to this specific limitation. It happens to be the most fundamental limitation of all. And that limitation is the halacha of Nikar Ha'Isser. That when you have an item of Isser that is mixed up in a Tarovis, Yavish B'Yavish, and it's mixed up, you're not sure which one it is. If you do recognize the item of Isser, you're able to be makir the Isser, which we have to define what that means. If you're able to makir the Isser, there is a limitation to the principle of Bittul Berov, and there is no Bittul Berov when you're makir the Isser. And the agenda of today's Chabura is to define exactly what is Nikar Ha'Isser, what does that mean exactly? And that's going to cause us to have a consequential issue that's going to be brought up in Kuf Beis, Gimel, as a byproduct. And if we have time at the end, which I hope we do, I did a lot of research on New York City water and copepods, and I'll show you how our issue of Nikra Isser impacts on the major controversial issue of New York City water. So if we have time, Be'ezer Hashem, we'll do that at the end. Okay, so what's the makor for Nikra Ha'Isser? So the Mishnah Chulin Tanivam Beis brings down that if you have a Tarovis Yavish B'Yavish, let's say a chaticha of the veil that's mixed up with other chatichas of heter. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, it's usher. You cannot consume any one of these chatichos that are in this taroves. So the Gemara later on in Taitesam Abayis asks, why? We have one chaticha of Isser of Nevela mixed with other chatichas of heter. It's in the rove. Let's apply the principle of Bittul Berov. So Rashi on that kasha of the Gemara says, that this that we're asking, we should apply Bittul Berov, assumes that the chaticha of Nevela is Eino Makiro. You don't know which one of these chatichos is the Nevela. And now the Gemara has a starting point to ask, let's apply the principle of Bittul Berov. But mashma from Rashi, that if you do recognize and you're Makir, the Isser, the Nevela, and which one it is, you would not be able to apply the principle of Bittul Berov. This is source number one for the limitation of Bittul Berov. Continuing Vayter, the second source is the Yerushalmi. In Orla Perek Beis Halacha Gimel, and this is what the Gra brings down the Halacha in Tzadiches, the Gemara Yerushalmi brings down a case where you have a Te'ena of Truma, and we know a Te'ena of Truma can only become Batal in 100. You throw the Te'ena of Truma into a Taroves of 100, you're not sure which one it is, so you can apply Bittul. But says the Gemara, if you are makir, which one is the fig, which one is the te'ena? You know that it's the te'ena, it's mixed up with a bunch of olives. You know that this is the te'ena. So says the Ritvaz, based on the Yerushalmi over there, it is not batal. We do not apply the principle of Bittul Berov when you're makir the Isser. These are the two primary sources that we find in Bavli and in Yerushalmi for the limitation of Nikar Ha'Isser. Now, whether or not this is Daraisa or Darabanan is Mavur from the Tosfos in Chul and Sarihei. Tosfos asks the following, he points out the following statement, and the Taz is Medaik from the Tosfos, whether or not Nikar Ha'Isser is Daraisa Darabanan. Says Tosfos, V'kaimelon, that Mida Oraisa Chad Betray Batal. We hold Mida Oraisa, that Bittul Berov works, it's operative. However, says Tosfos, Hainu Hecha De Me'urav Ve'eno Nikar. Only when it's mixed, and you're not makir the item of Isser. So says the Taz, look how Tosfos started off his statement. Mi deoraisa chad betray batal. When does that apply that it's deoraisa batal? When it's not nikar. Says the Taz, mashma from Tosfos, that if it was nikar, we would have a limitation mi deoraisa on the principle of Bittul Berov. So as opposed to the previous Dvar Machashuvim that we mentioned, Beria, Chaticha Ru Eskabe, Davar Sheish Lo Matir, which are Dine Derabanan, and really Midaraisa, it is Batal, but Midarabanan, we are Machmir, that it's not Batal. By Nikar Ha'Isser, the most basic limitation to Taroves is Mideoraisa, not Batal. It's a qualification, Min HaTorah, that you don't have Bittul Berov on a ta'arovis when you recognize the item of Isser. This is the source for Nikra Isser and that it's Midoraisa. Now, just on the basic level, what is the Bir HaDvarim? Why does it matter whether or not a makir the Isser or not? Why should that prevent the principle of Bittul Barov? L'maisa, I have a mixture, and let me apply majority over the minority. That's true. I know which one is the Nevela. But let me apply. Rove rules. Let majority rule. Let the rove be machriya, and let us consume the entire tarovis. Why is nikra ha'isser prevent the principle of bitu barov? Not a big concept, but on a basic level, it brings down a very important lumdis in tarovis. And the point is that we started off in the Hagdama. Bozen has a head start on that because he just listened to it. In the Hagdama, the first shear of the entire year, we pointed out that in a tarovis yavish v'yavish, the suffix at hand is in the mind. We have three chatichos. You're not sure which one it is. We don't care necessarily how it's physically in proximity to one another. The Prima Gadam even spells out, you can have a chaticha in this room, you can have a chaticha in the third floor, in the fourth floor. You have three chatichos. You're not sure which one you bought for the janitor. And you're in this room, you look at a chaticha. I bought three chatichos in total. One of them was for the janitor downstairs. You're not sure which one it is. We apply Bittul Barov. It doesn't matter where the chatichos are in proximity to one another. As long as you don't have an identification of which one is the Isser, we apply Bittul Barov. So say the Achronim, a very simple Nikuda. When a person is makir and identifies the Nevela, he knows which one it is. One out of three, he knows which one it is. It's green, let's say, and the rest are regular steaks. And he sees a green Nevela in front of him. So that's Mafkia, the Shem Tarubis. You don't have a suffix anymore. The Gavra is not Misupak, which one is the Isser. If you're not Misupak, which one is the Isser, you don't have a Tarovis. The whole definition of Yavish B'Yavish mixture means that I have a suffix in my mind. But if I know exactly which one is the Nevela, I don't have a Tarovis. Ah, if I don't have a Tarovis, the principle of Bittul Barov is only Machria a Tarovis. If I know exactly which one is the item of Isser, I don't have a Shem Tarovis to begin with. It's not called mixed. I know exactly which one it is. It's not called mixed. Mixed means I don't know which one it is by Yavish V'Yavish. That's the basic Hesber in Lumdis, why Nikr is a Din Doraisa and why it's not able to apply Bittul Barov. As opposed to, if you recall, Beria and Chaticharul Eskabed, Dabar Sheish Lomatirim, those were a limitation on the principle of Bittul Barov itself. Here, we're taking even a more preliminary step. You don't even have a Shem Ta'aroves when it comes to Nikr Ha'isser. And Memela, Bittul Barov doesn't apply. It needs to be a mixture. But if you know which one it is, it's not called a mixture. That's step one in Nikr Ha'isser. Gilad? Perfect. Bozen? Okay. Fine. So let's get a little bit more practical. L'maisa, I've been saying the word Nikr Ha'isser, recognizing the item of Isser, identifying the item of Isser, but I haven't really defined what it means to recognize the item of Isser. So there are two factors in how we define something as being Nikr Ha'isser and not Bittul Barov. So the first factor is what we conventionally think of, which is the specific quality of recognition that a person has to have of this Chaticha of Isser. What quality of this item do I need to perceive in order to say this is called Nikra Isser? So the Pri Chadash, for those who saw it, brings down three common examples where I am makir the Isser. I identify and I have a method of identifying this item of Isser. The first case he brings is through sight. If I see a chaticha of Isser and I visibly, based on its appearance, can detect that this is the item of Isser, that's called Nikra Isser. The example he gives is, let's say you have a chaticha of Nevela, you throw it into a pot of soup, and now you're asking yourself, just soup, liquid soup, and a chaticha of nevela. You can't say, let's apply Bittul Barov, and I can eat this nevela because there's rove against this chaticha. You know that the nevela was a chaticha, it was a solid piece of meat. That's from its appearance, from its shape, from its appearance, you know that this is a chaticha of nevela. Very classic. Or let's say you have three pieces of meat. One of them says, Aaron's, and the third one says, what's a non-kosher store? Key food. Key food. You know that it has a stamp of key food. Key food is not kosher. So you makir from its visible appearance. That is a quality of recognition that counts for Nikr Ha'isser. What's a second quality? These are just common examples. The Pri Chadash says, you can even have a case through touch. Let's say you have a mouse, says the Pri Chadash, that is cut up into many, many pieces, many, many thin slices, diced up into cubes of achbar, and it's mixed up in a soup. So because if you were to consume this tarubis, you'll be able to be mamashmish with your mouth, you'll be able to sense through touch, not through taste, but through touch, let's say, the chatichus, that also is called makira iser, of chiddush, but that's also called makira iser. And the third and final case is through taste, sense of taste. The Ravid, the Rashba, B'shem the Ravid says that if you have a chaticha of nevela that gives off blias of iser, and you have two chatichos against it, and you want to apply bittul berov, because the nevela is giving off taste into the tarobes, and you taste the taste and the flavor of that nevela, that's also a chiddush of nikar ha-isser. You've identified the isser. You haven't located it, but you've sensed the isser in the tarobes through its taste. These are the three classical methods of being makir the isser, either through the method of visible appearance, or through the sense of touch, or through the sense of taste. The only senses that we haven't touched, really, that we haven't spoken about, is hearing. Okay, that's not shayach. But I'm wondering, just the yesh la'ayin, maybe anyone finds Mamar Komos on this, what if you can smell the item of Isser, whether that's called Nikra Isser. I haven't seen anyone speak about
it. Is that included in taste?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. Find me Mamar Komos. I'm wondering, yesh la'ayin. But this is all classic Nikra ha'isser. There's a second issue of Nikra Isser, which is much more which is also fundamental in Nikra Isser. This is currently, what we just spoke about right now, is current methods for how to be makir and recognize and identify the item of Isser. But sometimes you have an item that is not readily identifiable, but because you can do a certain pe'ula or operation on the tarovas, and you can now reveal the item of Isser, is that called Nikar Ha'isser? Up until now, factor one was when you can currently identify and recognize the item of Isser through its appearance, through its touch, through taste. But what if I can't see the Isser at all? I can't visually perceive it. I can't identify it right now in front of me. But if I do a certain pu'ula, I do a certain operation to the tarobas, I manipulate it in some way, I interact with it in some way, and I'm able to reveal the Isser, is that called Nikar Ha'isser or not? This is subject to a major machlokas rishonim in three places. The first place is our siman. The Rashba brings down a case where a person has a kli of iser. He used a kli for treif, or he used a kli for basar chalav, and let's say we'll call it a fork. He has a fork that's basar chalav, it's treif, he has to be magalit, he has to kasher it. But he puts it on the side in the meantime. In comes one of his family members, takes the fork and says, oh, this belongs in the fleishik drawer. And he puts it into the fleishik drawer, and now, lo and behold, he has a fork that is usser in his drawer, and it's mixed up with the other forks. He can't identify which one is the fork. So says the Rashba, no problem. Even though maybe yoltaina, it should not be batel berov because it's a davar sheyesh lo matirim, because I'm able to simply be magil all of my forks, and I can avoid relying on bittul by just kashering all my utensils, says the Rashba, and this is the point we need, because that's a lot of tircha, you're going to have to kasher all your kalim just because of one fork, that's a tircha, that's a hefsid mammon, you don't have to worry about it. It would have been a davar sheyesh lo matirim, but we override it because of technical considerations, it's a din derabanan, you don't have to be matriach yourself. So says the Rashba, this fork, which had a blia of iser, is batal berov. No problem. You can use any one of these forks. Not an issue. Comes along the Ra'ah in the Bedek Abayis, and he argues in the Rashba. He says, fine. You want to call it not a davar sheyesh lo matirim? Fine. I have a second reason why it should not be batal berov. Says the Ra'ah, because you can be makir the iser. How can I be makir the iser? Says the Ra'ah, I can simply do hag'alah to all my forks, and I can remove the blia of iser that's in one of these forks, and I can now identify where the iser is. I can remove it. Says the Ra'ah, that's called nikar ha'iser. Comes along with Shimon and Shar Yosher and Shar Gimel, and he says the point of contention between the Rashba and the Ra'ah is this very point. We're speaking about a case where currently you can't identify the item of Isser. But through a pa'ula, through an operation, you're able to reveal and bring the iser to life and locate it. That's a shaila as to whether or not that's called nikra iser or not. Says the Shar Yosher, says Rosh Shimon, the Rashba operates with the following assumption, that as long as currently you're not able to identify the iser, that's not called nikra iser. Masha'enkin, the Ra'ah is being mechadish, a new category of makir ha'iser, that as long as through a pa'ula I'm able to reveal the item of iser, that's called nikra iser, lefi the Rashba, lefi the Ra'ah. One second. And just to formulate this, because right now it's just long sentences, there's a very important hakira that we can suggest for how to define this nikuda of whether or not performing a pa'ula to reveal the iser is called nikra ha'iser or not. So the definitional analysis would go as follows. Generally speaking, in factor one we saw that there were different methods for how to identify iser. We had vision, we had touch, we had taste. All of those cases were currently identifiable. So says the Rashba, the way we are define the geder of recognition of nikra iser is based on the item of iser being perceptible. If I can perceive the item of iser, whether it's in one of those three methods that we've mentioned before, sight, taste, or touch, I'm perceiving the iser. If I have a tyrovis and I want to know whether or not the iser is nikr or not, my question is, can I perceive the iser? Is it perceptible? That's the Rashba, and if you think about it, that's the common understanding of nikra iser. Is it currently perceptible? Comes along the Ra'ah, and he's saying a big chiddush. The geder of nikra ha'iser is not whether or not it's perceptible or not, but rather whether it's distinguishable. If I can distinguish and separate the iser from the heter, that's also a type, a format of nikra ha'iser. If I can distinguish the iser by being magil all the kalim and remove the bliyas of iser, that's called nikra iser. So it comes down that there's a fundamental machlokis rishon between the Rashba and the Ra'ah, how to define nikr ha'iser. Lefi the Rashba, nikr ha'iser is defined by perceptible. Is the item of iser perceptible, or is it not? In this case of the kalim, I can't perceive the bliya of iser. I have to do an operation. So says the Rashba, it's batel barov. Davar sheyesh lo matir mizdin derabanan, don't worry because of hefsed mamon. But in terms of nikr ha'iser, no problem. It's not a nikr ha'iser. It's not perceptible. Comes along the Ra'ah, and he says, no, we expand the definition of nikr ha'iser to distinguishable. If the item of iser is distinguishable, that's called nikr ha'iser midoraisa, it's not batel beruv. That's place number one. Yes, Abu?
Is the Ra'ah, he's working with the Ra'iyah as
yeah, the Ra'ah agrees to all the first three methods that we mentioned. But those are all when it's current. He's being mechadish a new track, a new format, when you can do an operation to reveal the iser.
But when it becomes, after the operation, it's nikar because it's like because of ri'iyah?
Yeah, you can say ri'iyah, or you located it, or you tasted it, whatever you want to say. But you removed this, or you have located this, you have identified where it is. You removed it to the water, and now it's out. That's called nikar ha'iser. It's distinguishable. It's not so much whether or not you have to... That's a good point. It's not that you have to actually invoke one of the other three methods once you remove it. The definition of nikr means to distinguish. That's it. If it's distinguishable, if it's separated, that's called nikr ha'iser. Nikr ha'iser doesn't mean that it has to be perceived, as long as it's distinguishable from the tarogas. That's nikr ha'iser. That's recognizable. That's identifiable. Yeah.
But
well, Kalim? He's assuming not. Okay, they're not bringing up that issue right now. Okay, I'm assuming it's not in the Rosh Hashanah. And the Rashba for sure is assuming that. Okay? That was all Mar Malcolm 1, place 1. Says the... And we're going to bring out two more cases which bring out the same point. Says the Shar Yosher of Shimon, he points to another Machlokas Yeshurim which bring out the same exact Machlokas. The Gemara is actually Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Tesla Beis. And to bottom line, to streamline the Gemara is talking about a case where a person has schach mechuber to a tree, and he wants to use it for schach on his sukkah, which has schach kosher. And the Gemara says that as long as the schach kosher is in the rove, you're allowed to use a schach mechuber that's intermingled with this schach kosher. Why is that? So there are two mahalchim in the Rishonim. Rashi says because the Maisa, I have a Tarovis of Tzach Kasher and Tzach Mechuber. I don't know which one of these branches are the Mechuber, which one is the Kasher. So Bittul Berov dictates that I can follow the Rov, and this Tarovis is Tzach Kasher. It's a Tarovis of Tzach Kasher. Ah, there's Tzach Mechuber, yeah, but I can't see it, says Rashi. It's not near La'ayin. Those are the words of Rashi. Not near La'ayin. Come, and the Ritva says the same exact thing. The Ritva says, B'shem Rabo. Who's the Rav? Who's the Rebbe of the Ritva?
The Rashba.
Oh, the Rashba. Keep that in mind. And he says, yeah, this is classic Bittul Isser Berov. Just like we know by Isser, we can mevatel something Berov. So too by Tzach. Tzach Mechuber can mevatel Berov. Comes along the Ran and says, absolutely not. Ein ze bittel kishar bittel. This is not the bittel berov that we know of Kol HaTorah Kula by Tarovah, says the Ran. There's a separate reason why this case is mutter. He gives a technical halachic principle in Hilchos Sukkah for why this case is okay. Says the Ran, you know why this can't be bittel berov? Because says the Ran, ein lecha adam sheyesh lo iser sheyachol lahasiro. There's no such thing as a davar ha-iser that you can remove and become bittel. So says Rav Shimon, the Ran is literally word for word saying the Shita of the Ra'ah. Rashi assumed, like Shita Sarashba, that the definition of Nikr Ha'isr is based on perceptible. Can I perceive the Isr? Can I not? So in this case, by Tzach Kasher, Tzach Mechuber, I can't perceive the Tzach Mechuber, says Rashi. I can't see it. I can't see which one is Mechuber, which one is Kasher. So it's Batel Berov, and you can use it for your Sukkah. Comes along the Ran, who's following the Shita of the Ra'ah, and says, yeah, it's true that right now I can't visibly perceive it, but I can do a pu'ula. I can go to the source of the tree, where the tree is connected to my sukkah, and giving off the branches from the tree trunk, and see at the source which ones are the mechuber, which ones are not. I can just simply remove the mechuber branches, just go to the source of the tree, where the branches are attached to. So says the Ran, you can't call that bittel berov. This is Nikr Ha'isr, says Rav Shimon in the Ran. And the Ran is going with Shitas HaRa'ah. So what you just pointed out before, Rashi and the Ritva said this is Bittul Berov, and the Ritva quotes his Rebbe, who was the Rashba, which we just saw from the previous Mar Makum. The Rashba was the one by Kalim who said it's Bittul Berov. All we care about for the definition of Nikr Ha'isr, is it perceptible or is it not perceptible? If you have to do a pe'ula to remove the Isser, that's not called Nikr Ha'isr. So the Ritva follows his Rebbe, and we apply Bittul Berov. Comes along the Ran, and he follows the Ra'ah, who was not his Rebbe, but he follows the Ra'ah, and says that because I can do a pu'ula, and it's distinguishable, that's called Nikr Ha'isr, and it's not Bittul Berov. That's place number two. The final and third place, before we get to New York City water, just in time, Baruch Hashem, is the Simin Tzadiches. We all saw this. The Mordechai brings the Shita of the Rokeach. What does the Rokeach say? So the Rokeach says, let's say I have Chelev that is thrown into a Tarovis, a liquid Tarovis, let's say, and it has Shishim. So you would say, it's Batel B'Shishim, you can eat the Tarovis. Nope, not so fast, as the Rokeach. A person has to now go, even though you can't see the Chelev in front of you, the Chelev is completely dissolved into the water, to the tafshil, says the Rokeach, take cold water and pour it into the pot, the tafshil, and the chemical effect of water and chalev causes the chalev to rise. If you ever try this at home, it works with oil. The chalev rises to the top, it becomes congealed on the top, and a person can simply take a knife and scoop off all of the chalev that rises to the top. So says the Ramah, he brings us down the halacha, this Rokeach, who's a Rishon, that it's not enough to just say you have Shishim against the Chelev and it's mixed in and dissolved in. You have to actually go out of your way and take Mein Tzoren in cold water to cause the Chelev to be revealed so you can remove it. So there's a major Machlokas Achronim. What is Pshat in the Rokeach? Why is he requiring one to do this experiment with cold water? It's a major Machlokas Achronim, but it's a bit ikvos of what we just did. Says the Kresiu Plesi, because of davar sheish lo matirim, tadin derabanan. Because I can put my tzoronim into the taroves and remove the chalev, so in a sense, this taroves has a matirim. I can remove the iser. It's davar sheish lo matirim, and so says the Kresi, If it's shut, din derabban of davar sheyish lo matirim. If by putting the cold water, it may hurt the tavshil, it may make it taste bad now, or it may cause it to be niskalkel because it's too liquidy. No one likes liquidy cholent. So if that's what's going to happen, you don't have to do it. Because by davar sheyish lo matirim, it's din derabban. That's all. If it's going to cause you problems, don't worry. You can back off. Chazal, we're not going to be makbid on you on a din derabban for a hefset or for a kilkel. Comes along the Darchei Moshe, which is the Ramah himself, and the Prima Gadim says, no! No Shaykh has a Darchei Sheish Lomatirim. The basis for why the Rokeach requires you to put cold water into this Tavshil is because of Nikr Ha'isr. Even though right now, visually, it's not perceptible, but since I can do a Pe'ula of causing the Isr to be removed, that's called Nikr Ha'isr. It's distinguishable. We care about distinguishable, and therefore it's min haTorah, midoraisa. So don't tell me your crybaby stories about this cholent being too liquidy. Too bad. It's a din doraisa. You have to get rid of the chelev. No arguments. No ifs, ands, or buts. You have to remove it. It's nikra iser. These are the three places where this chakira lies in. So we have, in summation, we have the din doraisa of nikra iser. We discussed two factors for how we define Nikra Isser. The first factor is just the methods of identification. We had visible appearance, touch, or taste. And factor two is this major machlokas Rishonim, whether or not if I have to do a pe'ula to remove the item of Isser, is that called Nikra HaIsser or not? And we rooted that into two, a very glat chakira, whether or not Nikra HaIsser is defined by perceptible, which was the Rashba, and Shitas HaRashi, and now we're saying also crazy or placey. In all three cases, they're holding that as long as it's not perceptible in the current matzav, it's batal, it's not called Nikra Isser. The Ra'ah from the case of Kalim, and the Ran from the case of Sukkah, and the Darchei Moshe from the case of Chelev Tzoronim are holding of a new expanded concept of Nikr. Nikr is defined by distinguishable, and if it's distinguishable, that's called Nikra Isser min haTorah. Very important to remember that, min haTorah, as opposed to a davar sheyish lo matirim svar, which is only derabanan. Ad kan nikra iser. Before we go to copepods, any questions?
What is a copepod?
Oh, we'll get to that in a second, yeah.
What's with the steer and the mouth?
Which one?
I mean, by kelim, he paskins
that it's not nikra. Yesod is batal.
By mayim tzonin.
Good question. I had the same question. I mean, you're saying working with nikra.
Yeah, he's working with Nicker by Caleb.
Yeah, I hear.
But he's letting the candle be
gone. I hear. It's a good question. That's a good har. I have that in my notes. Good question. Good har. I did not warn you this time. Good har. That there are shitas about, there are ways to be miyashi that, but that's very dachistic. Yeah. Remind me about that. That's a good point.
That's why I never fancy after.
Yeah, that's a good point. No, that's good. That's an excellent point. Yeah.
I was going to say, because like with the Caleb, it's like something that happens in natural things. It's not specific, not to operation.
Yep. Could be. That's a good point.
Cool,
that's
down,
a good har.
So there's no
har. The Yisod HaRamayim Kuf Beis is holding that really it's Batal Barov. He brings down Hotzos. So he holds like the Rashba. On the other hand, he brings down the Rokeach. If you learn like the, if it was that, if the Ramah just said the Ramah, and he also spells out, yeah, Nikra Isser. Right,
yeah.
That's a good point.
Maybe this isn't necessarily
Hotzos. Yeah, but we're talking about Nikra Isser. It's Nikra is Min Doraisa. We don't care about Hotzos. It's a good point, Shia. Excellent point. Okay, let's put it on the side. Maybe over Purim, during Purim Suda, when you're intoxicated, you come up with a good tarts. And then but yeah, I know you don't do that. But when you, sober up, you'll have a better tarts.
I don't think that the Nigunim will let such a Torah thrown in my mind like that. It's such involved in the Sugya thought, but there'll be many other good mafshos.
Okay, good. Fine. Okay, so let's do the issue of copepods. It actually took me weeks to go through it, but it was actually it's a fascinating application of this issue. But it's going to take us a little bit, a few steps before we get to the actual application of Nikra Isser. So I'm just going to highlight the basic halachic issues that take place by New York City Water, and then at the very end we'll be able to plug in what we just did. So don't forget what we just did. So let's get a little bit of background about what in the world happened in 2004. So basically, for hundreds of years, Gedolim, Admolim, Rav Moshe, Tzadikim, Gemurim in New York City have been drinking water, glasses of water, without any issues. All of a sudden, and mamish around this time, March time, right before Pesach, an Avrich comes along, maybe you will call him an OCD avrich. An avrich comes along and he wants to check his lettuce for Leil Pesach, for Seder. And not only was he so machmir on checking, which is good for him, Yirei Shemayim, Mishnah Berurah says he had to check lettuce for Tolayim. He even bought Ale Katif, Gush Katif lettuce from Eretz Yisrael, which says on the package, Noki mi chashash Tolayim. It's completely insect free. You have nothing to worry about. But even so, he wanted to check it with a light box, with a magnifying glass. This Avrich took his lettuce for a little Seder and started checking. Okay? So he started checking his lettuce. And not only did he check his lettuce, he also started to strain the water that he was using to wash lettuce. And lo and behold, he found bugs in the water. And he was convinced that the Ale Katif, this Gush Katif company, was fooling everyone. They were saying, it's Naki Michashash Tolayim, but look what's going on over here. I found bugs. So he immediately called them up with pride. I'm going to get them. This is unacceptable. Right, Mary? He calls them up. I would do the same thing. And in a good way. He calls them up and he says, how can you do this? It's false advertising. It's not Naki Michashash Tolayim. It's false advertising. So to their credit, Ale Katif said to him, fine, send us the sample. Send us the water sample where you found the bug. So they got it in Eretz Yisrael, and they did experiments, and they said to him, this is not coming from our lettuce. This is from your water supply. It has nothing to do with us. So the Avrich was a little bit skeptical, but Hitaka listened to what they said, and he went to go to check it out under a microscope. He went to gave it to whatever experiments to see if it really Hitaka comes from the water supply. And Kachava, he was Megala to the world. He created this massive catastrophe that was much worse than the issue that was initially started. No longer is it a lettuce issue in his one little cabbage of lettuce for Ale Katif. Now all of New York City water is claimed to be infested with these bugs that he found after doing this very, very rigorous washing of his lettuce for Leil Seder. That's how this whole maisa started. If you look at any Tshuva Sefer, Rebelsky, they all start off with this maisa because it's a plea how this whole thing started. Up until now, nothing happened. So what are these shrotzen? So they did an experiment, and what these things are, Meir saw it on the phone. They're basically aquatic crustaceans, little pieces of shrimp, basically. Aquatic crustaceans that are found in the water, and they are minuscule in size. They are 500 microns in length. They're extremely, extremely small. And they're called, if you want to know the Latin term, Diacyclops, pretty scary. Diacyclops Thomasi, what?
King of plankton, they're called.
King of plankton, okay, that's another way of calling them. So we're going to call them copepods. They are referred to as copepods. They have bodies, they have a skeleton, an exoskeleton. I don't remember the last time I said that word. And they even have an eye, they have appendages. It's a real body. If you look at them, they're disgusting.
They look disgusting.
Yeah, they are minuscule in size.
Can't see from back.
You can't see. Okay, so let's go. So now, what's ironic is people think that the reason why we have this issue in New York City water is because New York City water is filthy. But it's the mamish punfakert. There are 7,400 water systems all over the country. 7,337 of them are all free of copepods. Why? Because they are dirty sources of water, and the FDA requires and obligates under the Safe Drinking Act of whatever, 19 whatever, that every single one of these filtration areas have to have a filtration at its source. So throughout the country, every single source water supply has a filtration at the source before it even reaches our house. Those filtration systems, which are meant for the dirtiness and the pollution in the water, also happen to take care of the copepods. However, by New York City water, because the water is so pristine and so clean, because it comes from the Catskills, as we'll mention in a second, it comes from the Catskills and Delaware system, it is so pure and so clean, the FDA exempted New York City water from having to make filtration at its source, because it's so super clean. And adarabah, these copepods are actually helpful to the ecosystem. So the other places in the country, they don't get the copepods. They don't have the myla. But New York City water has such a clean water, they don't even need to filter. But what happens is, the copepods are not filtered now. So for Yidin, that's a problem. For the government, it's geschmack, it's amazing. So it's punfakert. The fact that we have issues in New York City water, you guys, I don't have, I live in Woodmere, the New York City water is specifically because it's super clean. That's exactly how this whole thing started, New York City water. It's also in a few other places. Argon and other cool places like that. Fine. You can look it up. So what's the issue? So the Gemara, the Mishnah, the Pasuk in Vayikra Yorav Tes brings down, there's an Isser to consume Shratzei Hamayim. You can't consume insects that are found in the sea. And not only is it so chomer, it gets you four sets of malchus. Any one of these copepods can give you four sets of malchus. The Gemara in Baba Tzia and Samach Aleph and Beis says that all of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Pesach and Yonah Diyoma, all of Yitzias Mitzrayim would have been worth it for Klal Yisrael to keep this one single mitzvah of not eating shratzen, Chazal said. That's how chomer it is to eat shratzen. So we have a big issue on our hands with these shratzen. So there are four halachic considerations for around this issue as to whether or not it's halachically permissible or usher to consume these copepods. Four halachic considerations. The first three are not our issue of taroves, but I'll just mention them agav and highlight them and just show you where they come from. And the fourth one, where it's taroves, is where we're going to focus in on at the very end. We'll do it quick. If you want to ask more, you can ask more later. The first halachic consideration is a very famous klal brought down by the Aruch HaShulchan in Pei Dalet Lamed Vav. It's also mentioned by Rav Moshe, that halacha only recognizes items of Isser that are not microscopic. Something that is microscopic is not included in the realm of halacha. This is a classic klal. The Aruch HaShulchan says, Lo nitna hator lemalachi asharis. Microscopic objects are not considered in the realm of halacha. The Chazon Ish has a ha'ara. It's actually very fascinating. It's a very broad klal. He says that when the Torah was given at Har Sinai, we can assume that the way the Torah was given at Har Sinai was based on the definition of vision at that time. And so since microscopes were only brought much later on, at that time, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't eat these shratzim, that means that the shratzim that you, right now, as a human being, at this moment in Har Sinai, are able to see them.
I don't know what their eyesight was like.
Right now, without a microscope, you can't see it.
Maybe. I didn't know what their eyesight was like.
Their eyesight was like,
Okay. You're saying at that time they maybe had super eyesight? Okay, you've looked at the Chazon Ish. Okay. You have to look it up. But the point is, the Maisa in Halacha, regardless of what the reason is, microscopic entities are not considered in the realm of Halacha. So the big question became, what about these copepods? So this is a very dakistika issue. Because to the untrained eye, and haraya, tzaddikim gemurim, yirei shemayim, yirei shleimim, for hundreds of years have been drinking cups of water, no issue, and they haven't seen anything. So the naked eye, taka, it's not visible. But many poskim argued that if you just simply take a dark background to the cup that you're drinking, you can easily visibly detect white dots, which are these copepods. You can easily visit. You just have to be trained to know how to do it. And if you're trained for literally 5 minutes, to be taught to know what you're looking for, with this dark background, you can visibly see these copepods. So their argument was that it's visible. However, although it is visible to see these dots, you can't positively identify that these are copepods. All you see are white dots. You can't actually see the image of the copepod. So this brought up another issue. If I can visibly see the dots, but then I only know that it's a copepod from my knowledge that white dots are copepods, is that called visibility or not? I can see the copepod, but I can't see the image of the copepod. I just see white dots. So the Chazon Ish paskin, that it doesn't matter. As long as you can see, not on this case, the Chazon Ish in general paskin, that as long as you can visibly see the item of Isser, even though the identification of it is only based on your knowledge from other sources, that's still called visibility. And so in conclusion, many poskim argued, there are a few that we'll see don't hold this way, many poskim argued that this doesn't fall under the category of microscopic. Even though they're minuscule in size, these are not microscopic creatures, and they are deemed usher in halacha mitzad, the microscopic consideration. That's issue one. On this?
Yeah. Well, who says we take the dark background into consideration?
Yeah, okay, that's the part of the argument. You know, the argument was that maybe once you see it in the dark background, you can be trained to even see it without a dark background.
Okay,
this is the dachistic issue. Yeah. I don't want to spend too much time on each consideration because it's not really our sugya. The second consideration that's brought down is a very fundamental nikuda. The Gemara Chulin Samech Vav Beis says This that we say that we aser shratzim of mayim applies specifically to yamim v'nachalos, if it's found in the sea or if it's found in a river. However, if you find a sheretz that was born, germinated for the first time in a boar or in a cup for some reason, spontaneous, whatever, germinated in a cup or in a boar, that doesn't count as sheretz amayim. Sheretz amayim is only aser midoraisa if it's found in yamim v'nachalos, in springs and creeks and rivers. If it's found in a boar for the first time, meaning it was germinated in the boar, that's where it was nishavet, that's where it was produced, that's not called sheretz amayim. It's mutter legamre to consume such a sheretz. So say this poskim, maybe we can make an argument that let's see how the water comes from the Catskill Mountains. Basically, we have two systems, the Catskill Mountains and the Delaware system. All the water comes down and it collects in a massive reservoir called the Kensico Reservoir. It's a massive reservoir which is surrounded by dams, massive, of all the water from the Catskills and the Delaware River. And you basically see a massive, massive landscape of mountains and dams surrounding a humongous, humongous dam of water. Now, it's clear from scientists, clear from studies, that the copepods are not born in the rivers and the creeks that it all stemmed from the springs. They are all germinating in the Kensico Reservoir. They do not start from an earlier source. So says some poskim, maybe we can argue that this is called one large boar. This is not the Yamim v'Nachalos. Although what you see in front of you is a collection of pool of water, but maybe this is called one massive boar.
Why would I know?
How is it different than a lake?
No, a lake is a natural body of water. This is collected in a dam. This is a man-made boar.
That's all.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't it be?
Okay.
Without a dam, it would all of those.
Yeah.
Sorry to say that's not.
Okay, so it comes along with David Feinstein. Yeah. What?
Or a boner, it's also not us.
Yeah, mutter. Yeah. So it comes along with David Feinstein and says no. And this is also a Negeil of Mikvos as well. Says with David Feinstein, although you're right, if you look at it, B'shas Maisa, it's a boar. But since the origins of this water stemmed from creeks and rivers, the waters stemmed from the creeks and rivers, and he says, there's an inlet and an outlet. They go back and forth. It doesn't just get stagnated in one area. This, says Rav David Feinstein Zatzal, is called Yamim v'Nachalos, and it's Aser D'Oraisa. You can't use this as a consideration.
First point doesn't make sense, because all water originated from...
No, rainwater is in a bore. Usually a bore swims rainwater.
Good. The last consideration before we get to our halacha is Miat HaMatzui. Halacha only takes into account an occurrence of Iser if it has a certain frequency to it. So Miat HaMatzui, you only have to check your vegetables if 51% of the time this vegetable is infested with ants or with bugs. Miat HaRabbanan, we require you to check for bugs even for a Miat HaMatzui. What is Miat HaMatzui? 10% of the time, Mishkan Yaakov says, many posts can go with this number, 8 to 14% of the time, if you find bugs in your vegetables, you have to check that specific vegetable. Like a strawberry would be a Miat HaMatzui. However, anything less than that is completely mutter. You don't have to be choshesh for incidents of iser. So many poskim wanted to taina, what exactly is the unit of measure that we need to use to define a Miat HaMatzui? Are we talking about 10 pools of water? Are we talking about 10 cups of water? Many different options. So Schechter pointed out that it's reasonable that we should take into account a normal amount of drinking water per meal, which is about 16 ounces, 10 of those cups. If in one of those 10 cups you find a copepod, that would qualify for a Miat HaMatzui that would be a problematic. And Haraya, that is what happens. In New York City water, in one out of 160 ounces of water, one out of 10 cups of water, there is usually, in most neighborhoods, not all neighborhoods, in many neighborhoods, there is a copepod that is found. These are the three halacha considerations. Lemaskana, I'll just tell you quickly before we get to the point and then we'll end. Lemaskana, Rav Belsky Zatzal holds of each one of these considerations the kula. He says, don't bring me that it's visible, because the mice of many hundreds of years of people have not seen these copepods. And the fact that you're able to see them when they move around is only when they're alive. Most of the time they're completely dead. You can
eat dead copepods.
What? Yeah, dead you can't eat either.
Oh.
You can't eat. But the fact that they're visible is usually when they're alive, because they're mobile. When they're dead, you can barely see them. It's impossible to see. It takes weeks to train hitainas, he argues, and therefore he wants to call this microscopic and not part of halacha number one. Number two, he wants a taina. This is called a bore. We don't go by the original source of water or rivers and creeks in Yama Vinachos. You found it in the Kensico River reservoir. That's where they were born. And that's what they are. They're boros and they're mutu legamre. And number three, hitainas, don't give me this rationale of 10%. It's true that miyata matzui is used as 10%. You're going to like this, Mayor. It's true, miyata matzui is defined by 10%. But that's only if it's a rational number that is being used. But if it's arbitrary, you chose 10 cups, and I can choose 10 pools of water, and I can choose 10 oceans. So you're telling me that it's a miyata matzui if I find 10 oceans, 10 lakes, one copepod? That's arbitrary. Don't, and he says, don't bring me a mischak tsa'atsuim of 10%. We don't play around with tsa'atsuim, he says. We don't play around with these things. And Rebelsky says, it's completely mutter to drink New York City water. And someone even told me, he took the cup of water in front of the poskim and drank it right in front of them. Totally mutter, Rebelsky says. Lemaisa, Rav David, Rav Eliashiv, and Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg all paskined at the end of the day that each one of these three considerations are not valid. They pass in the chumrah on each one of these three considerations, and they hold that it's usher to drink New York City water without filtration, without a filter. These were the three preliminary considerations. Let's just finish. You ask me afterwards, okay? Because he has shkia to hit. Fine.
Because now.
In a minute. So let me just finish. So the big question is, even if you want to assume, like Rav David, Rav Eliashiv, and Rav Chaim Pinchas, that it's usher, but one second. We're not discussing eating a sheretz by itself. You're getting a cup of water, you're putting it into your pot, or you're putting it into a cup of water. It's a tairoves. It's a tairoves. It's a tairoves of a sheretz mixed with water. Why can't I apply the rules of bittul beruv? So there are two impediments for that question. The first one, Shia mentioned, which is a beria. A sheretz we saw 2 weeks ago is called the beria. Now, the problem is chlorine is applied to the water as it comes through in order to prevent tooth decay. So the chlorine...
Chlorine is to kill, okay. So that you can drink it.
Good, so both. Chloride and chlorine.
They're in there, it's okay.
Chlorine or fluoride are both put there for a protective film, whatever it is, for whatever reason. And because of that, it also has a negative effect of keeping the copepods intact. So they make them much more likely to be a beria.
I thought you were
going to
say destroys.
No. So Lemaisa, this is relevant for two reasons. Number one is many times by the time it gets to your sink, we saw even one antenna, one limb falling off is not called a beria. Many times you have that in copepods, many times. But even the ones that are intact, Rav Asher Weiss paskins, that b'dieved, if you cook copepods in a tavshil, in a soup, or in stam, you're cooking water. So he says 10 minutes is not enough, but he says after a half hour, it is clearly dissolved. There's no issue of, that's his taina, you can look it up, in Parsha Shemini. He tainas that b'dieved, if you find yourself in a house, a guest in a house, and they're serving you soup, and you know they didn't filter, and you know that soup takes a half hour to cook, you can rely b'dieved that it's no longer a beria, and it can be batel berov. And he says, even the chatchila you can do it. Because like we saw, b'ein avadu yisrael chatchila, it's a kavala davar acher. You're not having intent to break up the copepod, you're having a tent to cook a soup. So lechatchila, you can even do, you can even mevata the beria. That's one consideration. The last consideration, which is what I want to get to, is nikar ha'iser. Says Rav Chaim Oberlander that this issue of whether or not you can rely on bittul berov, on a taroves, of a sheretz, of a copepod in a water, is tully on the rashba and the ra'ah. Lefi the rashba, this is not nikar ha'iser. It's not perceptible. It's not perceptible. It may not be microscopic, but it's not perceptible in rules of nikar min ha'Torah. It's not perceived. The only thing you can tie in is darashi yishlam matirim, which is a derabanan, which we can downgrade this whole issue to a derabanan. Masha'inkin, says Rav Chaim Oberlander, if you work with the ra'ah, that nikar ha'iser just means I can do a pe'ula to make it distinguishable. So filtration is easy. Just do a filter and you can separate the davar ha'iser. So the fee the ra'ah, says Rav Chaim Oberlander, we have an iser de oraisa even in the water. So even if you get around the beria issue, but you have an iser de oraisa out nikra iser, the fee the ra'ah, good Shabbos.
Does Rebelsky rely on the Rashba?
doesn't bring it up.
He
matters
in
everything. Yeah. He's Mahat. Well, which Ramah? His theorem was.
He probably would have to learn like the crazy. Are we diving there? Right?
Yeah.
Are we diving? Yeah.
Are we convinced the crazy is really old that maybe just
but,
this is just massive.
I'll tell you, if you're going to dive in, dive in now because you're going to lose people.
Sure.
Yeah. You're staying, no. Ellie. You're staying.
No, I can't stay.
We're good. We have time.
We have a lot.